podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is not the usual intro to the Planet FPL podcast because me and Clayton have just finished recording the Game Week 31 review. And yes, you're hearing this at the start because we just finished recording. And then no sooner had the Premier League and the two respective clubs just announced that Chelsea versus Tottenham is going into the Thursday night in Game Week 35, not Game Week 36. So I thought we should just cover that off very briefly. That'll obviously now give Tottenham a double game week of Arsenal at home and Chelsea away, which isn't the greatest on paper. And then Chelsea will have Aston Villa away and Tottenham at home. So the popular Cole Palmer, who we're going to speak about a lot on this podcast, I think there's another week of captaincy for him there, considering that double. 36 would have been better for him. I think it's fair to say West Ham at home rather than Villa away. So we now know it's going to go into 35. I think what's really important here is now for those who are going to transition from 34 to 35, considering Chelsea play Arsenal away and Tottenham blank, that's bad. And if I wasn't wildcarding in 35 for any reason, I definitely am now. instinct to that, because you've used your wild card.
I've used my wild card, but yeah. I've just got bench boost left.
What does that mean for you, that fixture going into 35? Is that bad for you now, or
I think so. I need to have a look at Pete's site, fpl.team, but my initial instinct is I don't think it would change too much in terms of planning, because I was leaning towards bench boost 37 anyway, right? So I don't think it will change too much. Is it ideal? No, but yeah, bench boost 37 was where I was heading anyway, to be honest. So I think for me it probably doesn't change too much.
The other thing to consider of that, of the consequences, and we don't know at this stage, but I don't think it guarantees that Brighton-Chelsea goes into 37. It probably still does, but it doesn't guarantee it. Now, if it goes into 36, that's a disaster for the 37 bench boost, because you'll certainly want Chelsea double free and then 37. Now, the single fixture would be Forest away. For Brighton, it would be Newcastle away. Not so clever. But that would make the transition towards... I mean, if you only have four teams doubled in 37, you're obviously not going to have a full complement of players that would double anyway. So you're going to have Chelsea singlers.
Will your projections change much based on this announcement?
No, I think it probably would still be 37. But I wouldn't be shocked, therefore... Brighton-Chelsea is not going to get picked up for TV. It's not impossible that it was 36. There's no logical reason for it to go into 36. I think it's just important to make people aware that that is a small possibility. I mean, to be fair, that possibility also exists for United versus Newcastle, but United v Newcastle was highly likely to still be shown for TV. I imagine Brighton-Chelsea will still go into 37, but it's something to be aware of. Quite why they've now waited this long to then now announce 35, I'm not sure, but it's the Premier League. The game will be shown live on Sky, as we always thought that it would be. I don't know, it might be that something's affected it, like potentially Sky might want Nottingham Forest versus Chelsea on like the Friday night in match week 37. So it could be something like that. They've gone, right, get it forward into match week 35 then, for example. So
yeah, I'm going to just need to sit down with a planner again and see, because then if it looks horrible, there's a chance I might look at bringing the bench boost forward to 34, possibly.
It's probably those who were looking at 36 will obviously look less attractive. We suggested that as an alternative, because you're certainly not going to want to, you're going to, even though it's a tough double for Tottenham, you're going to want some Tottenham players, but then you don't want a bench boost for Tottenham players away to Liverpool in 36. So yeah, that's an interesting spin. I just wanted to record this bit at the start because we'd literally just finished. I was like, Clayton, get back on the Zoom studio. Let's cover it off. So to confirm, Tottenham will double against Arsenal and Chelsea in 35, and Chelsea will double with Aston Villa and Tottenham. Chelsea's fixtures afterwards are good. We know Tottenham will highly likely obviously double again, of course, against Burnley and Manchester City in 37. Chelsea's extra fixture with Chelsea probably still goes into 37. There may be a small possibility that it goes into 36. Instead, I didn't want to do the podcast and not get that covered. So,
yeah, makes sense.
That's it. 35 is the confirmed double game week for Chelsea and Tottenham. Enjoy the podcast, everyone.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Clayton.
And my name is James.
And James, it's only right in a week with all the big hitters getting rotated. So just taking a rest. I'm off the bench. What the hell happened this week?
I don't know if anyone's calling him a big hitter. What happened this week? Well, in summary, it's a midweek at the end of the season, and we should note this for double game weeks and stuff. But I think particularly for sides like yourselves and City, you've obviously got Champions League next Tuesday and stuff. Yeah, it was always a bit of a concern for me in terms of looking at wildcard 31, and had 35 not kind of landed the way it would, I would have been wildcarding this week and would probably have ended up being as equally a shit for me as it was, actually. How was your game week?
Yeah, it was carnage, wasn't it? My game week was very much saved by Palmer and Garnacho last night, and we'll talk about that madness. But 62 points all out. It's another red arrow for me, so I'm down to 23K now. So it's not outrageous at all, but on the back of 8 green arrows in a row, I've now got 4 out of 5 red arrows. So, yeah, down from 12K to 23K in the last few weeks. So, yeah, I'm still happy with it. Lots of time left. But, yeah, wild card has not gone great.
Of course, you did it before 30, didn't you?
I did it in
and
game
you
30.
Kind of impulsively was like, yeah, I'm going to do it like the day before.
I think the words I used was, I'm doing it now to attack the season, and I've attacked myself by going backwards. So, yeah, it's not been brilliant, but yeah, 62 points all out around 23K. How'd you get on?
59 minus 4 for me, which takes some doing. I've dropped to about 223K. It takes some doing because it really is some achievement in FPL, and I realise I won't be the only one who's got this week, to have two players score a hat-trick and hit a red arrow.
Wow.
That's where I do own
unlocked.
Palmer and Phil Foden, but the rest is just a shambles. Gabriel's clean sheet is almost irrelevant because there's so much Arsenal ownership out there. Captain Salah, which I suppose is a victory versus the Haaland and Saka crowd. And there were some very unfortunate souls who captained Haaland and vice-captained Saka. It probably didn't impact too much. Obviously lost Haaland from the 11. Bailey, one-pointer off the bench for me. Muniz, Tony, Son, Porro, Dubravka, obviously. Nothing. Malo Gusto, brilliant. 0-pointer. But it's all right. He's still got good fixtures to go. That's what I keep telling myself.
Likewise.
So, Foden and Palmer... averted that from being an absolute crisis on war for me. Foden, especially, obviously, has averted that from an absolute crisis this week. And yeah, I look at the weekend, I think, yeah, it's probably a role for me with what I've got going into this week. I'm looking at goalkeeper transfer, possibly, but I think I've come to the conclusion not to bother. So Dubravka and Areola, anyone on that combination is like, enough of this now, obviously, especially with Areola injured, because I probably would have rather played Areola for the next two.
Yeah.
Rather than Dubravka, Fulham's home form's excellent. Newcastle's away form's shite. Tottenham nearly always score. That's Newcastle's fixture in 33. I mean, there's nothing there for Dubravka. But when I look at goalkeepers for like a 2 week, because obviously I'll free hit 34 and wildcard 35, is anything worth it over potentially having 2 1-week outfield punts in game week 33? And I'm not sure. I come to the conclusion, if I was to buy anyone, the one I'd probably want is your goalkeeper, Clay. It's Raya.
Yeah, I've got him.
You look at the two fixtures, Brighton away and Villa at home, it doesn't inspire much in terms of defensive potential because of the opponents, but I also think you're the strongest defence in the league.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe go that. But if I go that route, it blocks me off of going Bailey to Bumo in 33.
Okay.
If that's the way that I want to go, that's
yeah, just find another option. I don't think that's worth it.
It's not worth it when there's so much randomness of goalkeeper returns. I think I'm just going to take the Dubravka's 1 point this weekend and move on. Team's pretty well set this week. I guess from my perspective, the player that was worried about going into this week and not owning was Saka.
Me too.
Who's obviously not played, and yet I still ended up with a red arrow somehow. So... yeah, not in a bad position going into this week. The goalkeeper's the only one I'm looking at with kind of real annoyance, but I think I'm going to end up rolling. There's obviously a real debate to be had about captaincy. My intention had been Palmer prior to last night, and I don't suppose I'm particularly put off by
Okay.
that. But
Do you own some?
yeah, I'd definitely be Palmer over Son this week. That always would have been the case for me anyway, because I think space would be difficult for him at the weekend. Forest underlying XGC under Nuno's pretty good, actually. I think they're about fifth or sixth since the period he took over in terms of expected goals conceded. The tempter, of course, is Haaland, we know plays now. We assume because of the break on Wednesday night, whereas I was possibly concerned that this Saturday would be the one that he'd get left out. The other thing for me is I wonder if it's ridiculous. I saw a stat on Fantasy Football Scout, 1.6 million people had sold Phil Foden like over the last 3 game weeks.
I think I was one of them on wild card.
Yeah, and it's understandable if people did go down that route. Liverpool blank, Arsenal, like I get it. I wonder if he might not start this weekend. But also looking at me, my bench this week in terms of outfield players, Bailey, Doughty, Pau Torres. I mean, if I had a decent keeper, you'd arguably go bench boost that, considering the carnage of midweek fixtures anyway. I obviously don't have it. It is the early kickoff, so I suppose I'll get a tip off if Foden doesn't start. So my point is, I probably wouldn't go rushing to buy him because of his hat trick this week. It could be break for him, having obviously played. He only just made it past an hour against you, though, didn't he?
It wasn't electric in that game.
He was on Wednesday night, although the return should be noted come from a combined distance of roughly about 65 yards. There weren't exactly tap-ins in that hat
Yeah,
trick.
rockets.
Whereas for Palmer, there's two penalties and a deflected goal. But I mean, Palmer, it's astonishing what he's done. He's closing in on highest scoring player in the game. He's closing in on the golden boot, and he give everyone else a 6 game start.
Yeah, I know, and
And he's playing in a
that
team that's been shit all season, largely.
literally, and I think that's the thing. It's like even though he got the hat trick last night, it's even his. I think I read a stat he created like eight chances as well, and I know there were chances galore last night, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, I think it's his all-round game that's quite impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's in contender. I know people are saying he's a shoo-in for young player of the year. He's a contender for just player of the year,
Yeah, he probably will
I
be
think.
actually. Yeah.
So, look, quite content going into this week. I want to take a couple of 1 week punts. Kind of Brentford's the one on my eye, particularly for game week 33. Obviously, when we go through the games, we'll look at options for people going into towards bench boost 34. And obviously, those are looking later towards the 37 week. I think we should just get on with the games, to be honest, Clates, because there's a lot to
Sure.
cover off. And I'm
Yeah,
obviously
there's.
aware that deadline from time recording is kind of circa 26 hours away.
Absolutely. Action galore. But it started with a 1-1 draw. Newcastle Everton 1-1.
Yeah, disappointing result for Newcastle. Everton still winless since December, but obviously I think a drawing at St James's Park is probably a result that they'd take under that circumstance. No doubt about the penalty given away by Paul Dummett, who Simon Bibby described on Clash of Correspondence yesterday as a PE teacher disguised as a footballer. Somewhat harsh, but a good cuss. But does kind of describe Newcastle's defensive problems, which are obviously ongoing. Livramento, we think, not back till May. We're aware of obviously Lascelles and Botman long-term injuries. Kieran Trippier is not going to play this weekend. He'll be extremely doubtful for game week 33 against Tottenham as well. Their away record is bad. We covered that
Bad,
quite a lot on COTC yesterday as well. And I know those have been wild card and are kind of looking at, oh, best defensive Newcastle asset. It probably just falls into Dan Burn by default. I think with Lewis Hall, 4.2, he's obviously played a couple now at left back, but Livramento's not out for the season and Trippier's not out for the season. So the bit that you want it most, it might be gone
it's
by
too
that point.
risky, yeah.
So I think Dan Burn's obviously going to play at centre back now. So that would probably be the one. It doesn't feel much point in terms of spending the extra for share as it stands. I mean, Burn actually had a goal disallowed in this one, wasn't it? Narrow
Did, yeah.
offside against Isak. And Isak's the one that's obviously getting the most attention. I think he's gone up 0.3 or so
Think a few people
in
went for him on
the
wild
last week.
card.
Yeah, definitely. I know Suj got him in either this week or the week before as well. He's actually now got the best goals per 90 in the league,
Wow, okay.
Alexander Isak, this season. Again, he's closing in on the golden boot. And I think I want to say he's only started 19 games.
Wow, I don't know the actual stat on appearances, but I'll take your word for it.
So, yeah, I mean, his expected goals per 90 is now better than Haaland, to give you some sort of context. So, I mean, even with their bad away record, that still appeals this week if people want to go and buy against a Fulham side that's kind of looked wide open the last couple of games. Although, admittedly, in away games, and their home form has been outstanding. On a different day, he'd have got more Isak. So he's obviously had that goal for Burn disallowed for the offside. He also had one cleared off the line that Harvey Barnes created for him. He probably should have scored. And he kind of shanked the rebound effort as well. The goal he did score, he took really well. So owners who have already been on are probably a bit disappointed with sort of the 8 points this week. Formed really well. Elliot Anderson might be one to keep an eye on. For those who kind of want a 3-4-3, perhaps for the rest of the season, looking at a bench boost at the end, there's an element of risk in there, but he's a really good talent. He's really cheap. He might be one you could stick in as 8th attacker, but I think for many, you probably don't need to go that low.
No, there's so many options, price. Isn't there?
For those like me, wildcarding 35, you are going to want 3 of them, I think.
But yeah.
At the moment...
It's which 3, though? That's the...
Isak would be a shoo-in.
Yep.
And then Gordon, I think you'd want. I think probably Gordon over Barnes. Gordon obviously is back from suspension this week. And then Burn. But Si was speaking on COTC yesterday saying going Barnes instead of Burn. Just like forget that defense.
Oh, just go. Yeah, forget the defense. You can't argue, especially you look at it statistically. It's not great, is it?
The problem I said to him, though, was I said, of the teams doubling in 37, if you're heading in that direction, you don't want to end up on like double ups of any of them. It's just like, I'll have one of them, one of them, one of them, and just keep my fingers crossed and pray. I said, well, that's similar. You go 3 Newcastle, you've left yourself, what, 5 attacking spots for the other four teams. And you still want bits of that, obviously. Particularly if, obviously, the Chelsea-Tottenham game was to go into 36 as well. You start going like Palmer, Sun, another Tottenham. Yeah. So, yeah, awkward for them at the moment. I think if you were buying new this week, Isak's the only one you'd really be looking at.
Yeah.
For Everton, massive game this weekend against Burnley, which, I mean, if they lose, and we think the ruling on the points deduction might come next week as well, there's a scenario here where they're 7 points clear of Burnley, get beat at the weekend, they might find themselves level in 7 days' time.
Yeah.
If Everton get 4 point deduction and Burnley win this weekend, and that's what we can't rule Burnley out of it yet at this stage because of exactly that. You could have a scenario where Everton, Luton, and Burnley are all on 22 points. And Sheffield United and Burnley play each other in 34 as well. I think with Everton, you're largely not looking offensively at the moment. I think for those heading towards 34, those with a goalkeeper problem might decide right now Jordan Pickford as a solution.
Defence, would you have any suggestions there? I'm considering getting an Everton defender for 34.
It's just Branthwaite, isn't it? I think from the outfield players. You'd make a case, if you've got the luxury financially, you could go for Mikalenko. There's possibly a little bit more output on that offensively. He only missed the game at Bournemouth because of illness. So it's not like, he was rested. He's certainly part of Everton's first choice 11. Wouldn't bother with Ben Godfrey. Tarkowski or Branthwaite will chip in with the odd little bits from set play, sure. Branthwaite's cheap enough that you're not going to go Tarkowski, I don't think, if you're planning towards 34. Free hitters will probably ignore as well because one of the fixtures is Liverpool. So I think for me, if I was to go an Everton player in 34, Pickford would be the most likely for me. I still think the Liverpool game, you've obviously got the save point potential out of that, plus the Forest game. So Pickford, Branthwaite, a few might look at Mikalenko. I've heard a little bit of talk of Dwight McNeil. There's a bit of a differential of people heading that way. I'm pretty sure Everton fans would say, don't bother.
I was just going to say, do not like that at all. No.
Goal for Calvert-Lewin. Finally. After about 18 games or something.
A long time.
Although Dubravka should have saved it, which just sums up the goalkeeper. He's literally got a whole palm of the hand.
Yeah. In the context of that game, though, like 88th minute, that's a big point for Everton. Looking at their run, they've not won since Burnley in the league.
That's what I said. They need another point deduction, mate.
Yeah.
To give them a kick up the rear. Because if they didn't get it, they'd probably go, we've got more than a game spare, better fixtures than the others down there as well. Feels comfy, isn't it? As long as you just keep ticking along. Any other year on the points they're on with the deduction they've had, you'd be panicking for them.
Yeah.
I think most of us just still think they'll get out of it. And I know Evertonians are like, we're doomed. I mean, should they get slapped with like an 8-point deduction or something, then
then we'd agree.
Seriously worry for them. I think even if they got form, they'd be all right.
You think?
I think they'll get more points than Luton for the rest of the season. If they lost on Saturday, though, that would maybe change that opinion a
Yeah,
little
that's a
bit.
huge game. But yeah, keeping with it at the foot of the table. So moving it on, Nottingham Forest 3, Fulham 1. Big 3 points for Forest here.
Yeah, very much so. It was their first win since about December. And it's interesting how quickly the narrative switches, because they've gone from sort of 3 months without a win. So it's like, oh, it's 3 games unbeaten.
Yeah.
And quickly switch the narrative. I think with the fixtures they've had over those 3 games, though, they need to be picking up a win somewhere. When Mark Southern's come on COTC during the break, I said, if you haven't won between like the international break, the Palace Fulham games, and then at my place in 32 at Tottenham, then I'm worried for you. They've got that big win. And that's really important. They've given themselves that little buffer over Luton now. We know they're going to appeal the deduction as well. So most insiders seem to think that that deduction can't get worse for them. It was big for them because the fixtures now begin to switch where Luton's do look better than Forest. So they need to give themselves an advantage going into that. They played really well. It's got some beautiful goals. Your boy Gibbs White looks outstanding on the bits of the game that I've seen.
I know. I don't own him anymore. I held him for like 80% of the season, and then again got rid a few weeks ago, sadly. But yeah, my boy, he's thriving, Gibbs White.
I think most who've got Forest at this stage, if they kind of went through 29, is probably the most common scenario. Gibbs White, Elanga. The fixture this weekend, despite the fact we always give up chances, probably gives you an excuse to sell. Other than obviously Chris Wood is in really good form at the moment. And if that's your enabling forward, I don't suppose you're going to move that on now to a Muniz, or the only one would maybe be if you're heading towards 34, perhaps you look at Mateta because of the double instead. But even still, you'd probably rather just leave that till 34 itself rather than
Yeah, there's probably
make the
better
move
moves
now.
to do elsewhere, right?
So, but really good result for Forest. I think there's a little note to say on the team lineup was better. Divock Origi had been having this run in the team. When I spoke to Suj on Sunday night, it was like, why is Elanga not playing? We don't really understand this. Him, Gibbs White, and Hudson-Odoi behind Wood looks so much
It's
better.
brilliant, yeah.
Also, I know Forest fans have been saying Yates and Sangare are quite similar. Having a player in the middle of the pitch like Danilo has got more variety in his play. You look at the link up between Danilo and Gibbs White for the third goal, you've just got a more powerful runner, someone who can join in the attacking phases. That's better, but I don't know if they'll do that at Tottenham. I'd look if that was the lineup at Tottenham, I'd think, oh, that's quite open. You'll definitely cause me some problems on the way back going the other way. But what's the likes of Elanga or Hudson-Odoi going to do with my fullbacks, which
With the
I always
fullbacks.
speak about?
Yep.
It makes me wonder if like Origi might come back in. He might even play someone like Dominguez in the wide area. But I do think Forest can probably look at Tottenham away as the bonus. Wolves and Everton are the two more important games
Yep.
afterwards. So if I said to a Forest fan now, you'll take four across the next three, possibly take that as long as the four was probably don't lose to Everton across
Yeah.
those three.
For Fulham, do you think that we were talking about potential European push? Do you think that's still on? Obviously, they've dropped points now against Sheffield United and Forest back to back.
Well, ironically, as discussed on COTC yesterday, if Fulham had won these 2 games at Sheffield United and Forest, they'd be level with Newcastle.
Yeah.
They'd have
It
been like right in
changes
it.
quickly, yeah.
Probably not. No, it's probably too much of an ask now. And their away form as well, also, you know, 1 win since the opening day of the season away from home. Their away form is relegation form across
Yeah.
the season, but their home form is like sixth, seventh best. So, and they've still got some big home games to come, starting with Newcastle, Liverpool, City, Crystal Palace also still go there as well. Marco Silva was obviously not happy. The very rarely cited triple 33rd minute substitution with Sasa Lukic, Harry Wilson, and Alex Iwobi all hooked off. That suggests there'll probably be a few changes to that Fulham lineup at the weekend. I suggest William will be one of them.
Yep.
Harrison Reed, maybe for Lukic, another one. I found, you'll know I'm a big fan of Paulinho. I found his role in a couple of Forest good moments a little bit alarming.
What alarmed you about it?
Well, just slower than what I expect João Paulinho to be in terms
Okay.
of, is your head really there, mate? I don't know.
Is that the vibe you got, yeah?
Well, people running off him.
Okay.
And he's so good as a kind of defensive destroyer in there. Just looked, there was a couple of times I had to look back. I actually paused little bits of the highlights. Is that Paulinho? Yeah.
Wow.
Paulinho, that's a little bit concerning. The main one for Fulham at the moment is Muniz, obviously, who blanked finally, but still had
Terrible.
five shots in the box. It's on a, and actually, to be fair to Fulham, they had a number of decent efforts second half, but obviously give themselves too much to do. There's no chance of me benching Muniz against that Newcastle defence or Martin Dubravka at the
Yeah.
weekend. Yeah, I'll have the contradiction of those two and just accept my chip points for Dubravka. I would fancy Muniz to return
Yeah, so would I,
against
to be fair.
Newcastle at the weekend. I'd probably fancy Fulham to win it. They'll get a response. Marco Silva's a good manager.
Yeah.
They'll get a response in that fixture. The team might change up a little bit, but I don't think Muniz will be one of those who does. Because again, even though they were chasing this, Muniz stayed on the whole game.
Yeah.
It's not used Jimenez. Or did he use him really late? Maybe Jimenez. But it wasn't like he brought Jimenez on with Muniz right near the
No,
start when he made
Jimenez
all them
didn't come on.
changes. Now I think Muniz is clear, and obviously Boris just it's just not getting a look in at the moment.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Moving it on. Bournemouth 1, Crystal Palace 0. And Bournemouth, after they exited the FA Cups, 4 wins and 5 now. Decent little run.
Bournemouth have essentially turned up for two spells this season. I
Yeah.
think they're 13 points from five now, Bournemouth. And wasn't it 19 points from 21 when they had that
Something like that
run sort
earlier
of
in the
around
season.
December as well? And if you take them two runs out, they're going down.
Yeah, no,
But
you can't do
if you just
that.
give them two runs, they're
They're winning
qualifying
the
for the
bloody
Champions League.
league.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, they're on a good spell of run, a good spell of results, I should say. Sorry. And they themselves, because of that, may well think, oh, can we push for Europe? If
I
you're
ask
asking
you
the,
about Fulham. Yeah, I've got to ask you about Bournemouth.
well,
Yeah.
of course you have. Bournemouth for what, 41 points now?
Four, they're 2 ahead of Fulham. Yeah, good
What are
point.
United on? 48.
United are on 48. Yeah.
And Bournemouth play United in 2 weeks. It's not
Yeah.
inconceivable that Bournemouth win the next two and Man United lose the next two and only be
Not
one
at
point
all.
between them.
Crazy. This season, like the I tweeted this morning. The table's just different groups of like title challengers, Champions League, Europa. Yeah.
That said, I look at them still having to. I think for Bournemouth, because of where they are, I think to hit Europe, they've got to maintain this. They've got to hit it hard with the
Yeah.
run. And I look at them still having to go to Villa, Arsenal, and Chelsea and still play the likes of United and Brighton at home. And I think like to have a real
It's a mixed bag,
consistent
isn't
run
it?
where you're hitting sort of 2 points per game over this period, they'll probably need close to that. I don't see that, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if they win at Luton this weekend, as Luton is just obviously so damaged in terms of injuries and stuff at the moment. Plenty obviously be looking at Solanke on their path towards game week 34. But I'm not sure what else I'd be looking at for Bournemouth. And we got rotation in this midweek, and we should learn from that, right? They rotated quite a bit when they played Luton in game week 28 in the midweek. They've rotated quite a bit for this one. You've got the double coming up in 34. There's going to be some bits of rotation. Your safety nets are your people. Like Neto should be okay. Someone like Zabani is definitely okay. Dominic Solanke, as long as he's fit, is okay. If you're looking for the kind of wild, you know, Kluivert takes his goal really well, but to guarantee you two starts and stuff, nah,
Nah.
it doesn't exist. Lewis Cook played centre back in this one. We do think Senesi, for those who still hold, might be back for Luton. I don't know if we get an update for Andoni Iraola later today. We think he might be back. Other than that, none of them midfielders can be gambled on. I wouldn't gamble on any of them fullbacks. If you've got Kerkez, every chance he plays at Luton this week, whether they'll be impacted to pick a team that's based more on height, they might do. So Lloyd Kelly might play again at left back if you're hoping for him to play. Don't know the answer to that because it's probably about recovery and stuff in terms of the team he picks. Palace, the big kind of news out of this really is the injury to Chris Richards,
Yeah.
which we assume is going to rule him out at game week 34. I've seen people who wildcarded and were like, yep, straight into Livramento. Oh, crap, he's injured. Straight into Richards. Oh, crap, he's
Yeah, I've
injured.
seen that.
And now you're like, where do I go now on this path to game week 34? Well, the advice is don't go for Bournemouth. Because you're not going to get anything at that value, and it's probably not worth going towards, actually. So, I know you caught the start of this. You want to cover what they did instead with him
Yeah,
absent?
so Obviously, we were looking at the lineup. I assumed it was a 4-3-3. I think I looked in Palace's Slack channel. Rory, the Palace correspondent, said, "Yeah, it looks like a 4-3-3." And then it wasn't. It was back five: Jefferson Lerma, left centre back; Anderson, central centre back. And it looked good in and out of possession, to be fair. I know they lost the game, but again, I only caught 15-20 minutes of it just to see the shape. But yeah, that's essentially how they lined up. Back five, not a midfield three. And Lerma looked brilliant from what I saw of him there, to be fair.
It's not alien for him to play that position. He played it quite a bit for Bournemouth in the past, as well, in a back four primarily. So a back three should be easier. And one thing, obviously, about putting a midfielder in that position is your distribution should be quite
Yeah.
good. He's a handy footballer, and he's also he's a good physical presence. Jefferson Lerma, he's a dislikable player. He's a bit of a hatchet man, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I'm sure he'll cover that role fine. So I think what that tells us about Palace is the back three sticks.
Yeah, agree.
There was no temptation here just to go to a back four. The only caveat with that is they might have made a choice that they didn't want Joe Ward as one or two in a back
Okay.
four. But I think in terms of heading towards his path towards game week 34, which is the most important thing for the fantasy managers, yeah, back three sticks here, I think. With Richards now off the table, certainly the free hitters are going to look at Munoz even more now. And I
What price is
think
he? Okay.
Munoz is about 4-5.
Okay.
Roughly, might be 4-6 now, maybe. He obviously gets himself into good offensive positions. I think when you're looking at the attacking players, it's quite straightforward. Mateta, if you need the enabler, Eze is obviously a good pickup. Elise, we think, will be back in the squad tomorrow
That's big
against
for them.
Manchester City. So hopefully ready for 34. I can see me going Munoz, Eze, and Elise on free hit,
Sure.
potentially. But because it's City, Liverpool in the next two, they're difficult to invest
Yeah, that's
into.
where.
Don't just get blinded by the double. You've got to look at the other stuff that's going on there. And it's not to say like an Eze can't return in these two, but I just think you're going to find that difficult to buy before 34. I mean, if you're heading on that path, you're looking now at perhaps say a Wolves at similar sort of prices, maybe to get you there easier and then come for Palace last, or obviously get your quota of Arsenal and Liverpool players first, if you're looking towards bench boosting in 34, for example. So, yeah, eyes on the prize with them. I would guess that IU would be the one that would drop out once Elise comes back in. But as said previously, I have a little bit of concern with Mateta that could become IU through the middle.
Really? Okay.
A little bit. I would imagine that Mateta's played often enough, and I think he started every game this year under Hodgson and Glasner.
So you think
So there's no.
Edouard would be third down the
Yeah,
pecking order?
Edouard's definitely behind
Okay.
Mateta. He has been for a while now.
Yeah, but I
So
mean, even behind Ayew down the middle.
I'm just concerned that with Elise and Eze, you don't want to stop them being what they're really good at on the ball. And I use work rate. If you take
Yeah.
that out, the Palace team will suffer a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's all it is. The Palace fans really like Ayew, but because of the nasty, ugly stuff that he does in his game, I'd just be aware of that. That's all. Mateta wouldn't be, and we've mentioned about like Wood to Mateta, for example, or Muniz to Mateta. I certainly wouldn't be making that move now. I'd gain a little bit of information, which hopefully Michael Olise's return should give you. I think Muniz is the clear one to look at if you want to get involved defensively because of game week 34.
Fair play. Next up, Burnley 1, Wolves 1.
Yeah,
Lost.
missed opportunity for Burnley, really, because then they got themselves in front with a brilliant goal from Bjorn Larsen. They changed the front line a bit. It looks like Lyle Foster played off the right, with Larsen moving to the left, and then Wilson Odegaard in a more central area,
Okay.
with Dachro Fofana coming back, who was obviously ineligible against Chelsea. They're getting a little bit more consistency in their lineup now. Coutinho moved to right back. Charlie Taylor came back in. With Lorenz Aubameyang obviously suspended, I would presume Aubameyang would come back in, but not sure who would drop out, bearing in mind it's Everton next. I don't know if they would think about it from a physical perspective and maybe even leave someone like Odegaard out this weekend. Probably
Okay.
doesn't matter too much from fantasy. I don't suppose too many are looking at them, but there'd be a few because of the lack of clean sheets going around. There'd be a few that are holding the likes of Charlie Taylor.
Yeah.
Not sure if he'd play or not. Would be my take. I don't think the fixtures are probably bad enough this week where people will feel to want to play Charlie Taylor in most circumstances.
Not
They're four
sure. Everton
unbeaten
away.
Burnley.
Yeah, and that's on the back of four defeats in a row as well. So it's not been bad.
I mean, that's pretty good. That
Yeah.
includes trips to West Ham, Chelsea, drawing with Wolves is, in context, is not a disaster. They obviously beat Brentford as well. The big games this weekend, like I said,
Yeah.
if they could go to Goodison and win, and then Everton get taken the points off, suddenly they're going to go, oh my God. And there's still winnable games there
It's
for
like a
them.
momentum shifter, potentially, right?
Could be. So, but if they lose Saturday, then I think finally we'd have to say, yeah, writing's definitely on the wall. But we should give them some credit for putting themselves back in a nice position. What's more of interest is Wolves. We've obviously their own double in 34. West Ham at home, Forest away in the next two is not terrible either. And very importantly for Wolves, if you're looking through with their assets and carrying through, it's Luton at home in 35, which looks better than almost everybody else in terms of their 35 fixtures of the teams that double in 34. And Ryan Aitnori will be screaming at people now.
Yeah.
He's basically played as the left-sided forward. The Wolves, I didn't see a lot of the game, but Wolves guys, Bradley Parker, and one of our patrons, Atul, confirmed to me that, yeah, it was a back three. Semedo played right-sided centre-back. Hugo Bueno played left wing back, Doherty right wing back. Doherty went to left wing back later in the game when Santiago Bueno came on and Semedo pushed on a bit higher. But Aitnori played, yeah, as the left-sided forward. He missed an absolute sitter at Villa. Ironically, he scored here with the type of goal we would not expect him to score, a header from a set piece, which, to be fair, I know Vincent Kompany does like a moan, but yes, it wasn't a free kick. And then he's had another great chance in the second half where he should have scored. And he's also put a cross in for, was it Cunha who come on and had the header
I think it was actually,
that hit
yeah.
the post as well. He could have hauled here massively.
Is he the new Mr. X Lively?
Well, if you want a defender for the next four games, I would struggle to give you a better choice than that
Yeah.
right now.
Okay.
I can't justify it with what I'm doing. So don't even know which one of the defensive three I would take out this week. Porro owns Forest, Gusto at Sheffield United, or Gabriel. I'm just not doing that again, basically.
Yeah.
So there's no justification in me going there, and it might be there that that's the case for a lot of people. But we mentioned
Whereas,
about the Livramento to Richards route. Well, if you've got enough money, that's where you arguably want to go
yeah,
at
whereas
this
someone
moment.
like me, I'm obviously I mentioned I'm looking at an Everton defender, right? And I must say I'm bench boost 37, but I'm looking at Wolves in the next few instead, thinking, could I afford to go? Like, so I'm looking at Bradley. I can get rid of him. I'm looking at Braithwaite. Should I just go Aitnuri? That's something that I'm going to consider as well.
Which are you bench boost still left?
Yeah, bench boost 37. That's the only thing. So
It's Palace at home is a single fixture. Like,
it's
is that the
not.
worst? Imagine he stayed there.
Yeah,
You're
that's pretty good.
all right with that. If that was like a
Everton do
single
have
game week
Sheffield United
player,
at home that same week, to be fair, but.
it's worth remembering that with like we get obsessed with doublers with bench boosts and stuff. And I think, particularly like Manchester United, like you likes a Garnacho in a game week 34 bench boost is perfectly fine. Rather, oh, I've got to
Yeah.
get 15 doublers. You don't. And with Aitnori, if you've got the right rotation, because I've got City away and Liverpool away, respectively, in 36 38, it's massively off putting for the end. But if you don't need it in those 2 weeks and you're going West Ham at home, Forest, double, where it's Bournemouth at home, you just use the Arsenal game as a bonus, Luton at home, Palace at home, like it's a great run. And there's every chance you might look at something like Tottenham as an example at the end where there's possible double 36, admittedly possibly double 37, but then Sheffield United away 38 that would cover it.
Yeah.
Might be similar with a Chelsea player and even a Brentford player maybe. I mean,
I'm already tripled up on
if you
Chelsea,
looked
but
at
yeah.
something like that with Brentford, and you went, oh, how am I going to get rid of this? I can't get to doublers who have got doubles. If you've got Brentford at home to Fulham 36, Newcastle at home 38, might cover you well. The only thing is you'd want to play that Brentford player against Sheffield United in game week 33 rather than Aitnori away to Forest. But then
Yeah.
the Brentford player's got Villa away this weekend, so you don't want to look at that. So people might have Reggie on. If you put something like Aitnori in with it, it might carry you.
Yeah.
Quite nicely, better than it looks, rather than, oh, I need a Newcastle defender. Yeah, but are they defending? No.
No.
So, yeah, Aitnori is going to work for a few people. And those obviously heading towards 34 and the double are definitely going to want to look at him. Definitely. Cunha, I wouldn't steam into.
I bought him on wildcard.
I know you did, mate. And it's fine. I wouldn't go moving it.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee you start this weekend. If he does, I don't think you're looking at 90 minutes based on what Gary O'Neill said about him. He basically said sort of 15, 20 minutes was the most he could do.
Okay.
So don't think you're looking at 90 at the weekend. I think you're looking at 60 to 70 as your best case scenario. But then towards the double, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
You'll be
hopefully.
back in and he'll play. I can't really give you any reason to look at anything else, Wolves, at this stage, I don't think,
I feel like
because
there's
of Ait Nouri and Cunha.
one question I need to ask, otherwise our boys in Slack will get onto us. We've mentioned Wolves, we mentioned Bournemouth and Fulham about Europe. Wolves are above both of them. Can they be looking at it?
Well, if they're consistent in the fixtures that they've got, you look at West Ham at home, Bournemouth at home, Luton at home, Crystal Palace at home. If they won those four, what does that put them on for points?
Oh, mate, they'll be well in there.
What would it put them on?
What was that? Four
They're
games.
on
So they're
42.
on
That would put them on
42.
54.
54, yeah. Oof.
They'll need more. And they've still got to go to Forest, City, Liverpool, and obviously play Arsenal at home as well.
Yeah.
I think they'd probably need to win all those four home games, which they could do. But they'd probably need to. If they can do well over this little period and then obviously get Hwang back for the run-in as well, that'll help. It's beginning to look to TBC if he's going to be back for 34 or not. It
Yeah.
might be one just on the week. You can go, yep, that's going to be the one for me. It might be one that suddenly drops for free hitters. It's probably looking doubtful in terms of whether you're going to get good enough minutes from him across that double at the moment. So don't suppose anyone's still holding him, but people might have had going back to him in their plans.
Fair play. Moving it on, the Planet FPL Derby. West Ham 1, Tottenham 1. Have you spoken to Suj post-match?
No, I messaged him on Wednesday night and said, sort your Sky team out. It's carnage with the team lineups. That's about all I said to him. Weather was good.
Yeah,
He
nice and
pissed
sunny in
down.
England. Yeah.
Pissed down all night, didn't it? It's great. Yeah, usual binoculars spot. I couldn't see the ball go in when Johnson scored. I just knew it was in because I could see the way the players were reacting and stuff. Then no idea how it had gone in. There was obviously a lot of bodies involved. To be fair, I could have been low pitch side and might still not have been able to see that. So yeah, in untypical Tottenham fashion, we started really well. We played really well for 10 minutes and then quite frankly, we were bang average for the rest of it. And
What changed?
what changed? Not a lot. West Ham stopped giving us up opportunities. They started slowly and then improved, narrowed the game down a bit. I think realized they were a bit open on occasions. Made it more difficult for us to get on the outside with the likes of Werner and Johnson to the extent of just sitting there and going, go on, cross it for Son against Zouma and Mavropanos. And obviously Tottenham are not going to take up that option. So yeah, they improved. They started badly, but then thoroughly deserved the draw they got later in the game. The front guys were really good. I said to you on our Patreon pod on Wednesday, Kudos was outstanding.
Yeah.
Really, really good player. I think he's a player that's going to be of real interest to us in fantasy next year because I don't think his price will jump up too much. I think he'll be, if they have a good opening set of fixtures towards the start of next year, he might be a really good alternative to Bowen, who might be 2.5 million more than him, for example. So, yeah, him playing off the left, I don't know if it diminishes his potential output a little bit, maybe, but still looked like a really good player. We had a big chat about Kudos, Paquetá and Bowen being like a really good attacking lineup for the
Yeah.
majority of teams. And that's where the frustration comes from West Ham fans in terms of their play style. They'll benefit from having Edson Álvarez back this weekend, obviously returns from suspension. It's another disappointment from my perspective that we didn't really take advantage of that so much. Admittedly, Soucek and Ward-Prowse played very deep in the game and weren't going to allow us into those pockets as such. When we did get there, the game just got shut down and became really narrow and we ended up going backwards or sideways and stuff. I don't suppose people are looking at investing in West Ham new, despite Wolves, Fulham, Palace not looking like a bad set of fixtures, primarily because there's obviously no doubles coming or anything. Those who are on Bowen, I presume, are probably not going anywhere unless they've suddenly got fear out of Phil Foden or something. I'd probably just stick
Yeah, I would.
rather than thrash that about. You might find you jump and Foden doesn't play as many minutes as you think. You know what you're going to get from Jarrod Bowen. And Wolves are obviously weakened at the moment. Admittedly, that's more in the offensive areas than the defensive areas. Then Fulham at home next week is a great fixture for Jared Bowen. So I wouldn't be selling at the moment. Defensively, you wouldn't have much interest. Obviously, Fabianski's played in goal. We're not sure how long Areola's out, but probably long enough that he's not going to be of any interest for the rest of this season. But I don't know where you'd really move to at the moment. For my team, obviously the fixture this weekend as Peels. Don't think we'll be smashing them silly. As I said, their underlying defensive numbers are pretty good. I think if I'd be pleased if they picked the sort of team they picked against Fulham, because I think that looks quite open and they'll struggle. When they get high, they'll struggle going back the other way.
Sure.
I don't think they'll pick a lineup that strong, though. I would imagine Son probably stays through the middle because, again, limited minutes for Richarlison at the weekend. But I guess that's going to increase. And even if Son does start through the middle, it probably moves to the left earlier, I would suggest. Brennan Johnson's in really good form at the moment. I think he's a really interesting one for the wildcard 35 crowd. Because I've said this on another piece over the last week or so, that with him, his impact obviously off the bench is really strong. So for when those doubles turn up, you're not that worried about the two starts that you would be. Oh, will he start twice? I think with Johnson, you're not so worried about it because his impact could be as good from the bench anyway. I think Ange left him on here because he's trying to really build him up. He was hobbling for quite a while before he came off. And I think it's more fatigue related. And I think he'll probably be fine for Sunday. And it's the narrative of playing against his old club. But I don't think you're investing in Tottenham, no. But it's one certainly to monitor over the next couple for those who maybe want to come back for him. He would probably be, if you said buy a Tottenham midfielder other than Son for the run-in, at the moment it would be him rather than Madison or Richarlison,
That's music to my ears as a Madison wildcard owner.
He's not playing well, mate.
Yeah,
I know. Like I've been saying this every week for a little while now. That you know his capability, but I wouldn't be going there at the moment. Yeah. And if I owned, it would be a really difficult one to sell this week, ahead of Nottingham Forest at home. I'm sure he starts again, but that's now three league games in a row. He's come off around 65 minutes.
Yeah.
It's worth saying Kulusevski was no better in that area when he came on and replaced him. But he's just not creating in the same way that you'd expect. And I keep saying, I don't think he's playing badly, but he's just not playing at James Maddison levels that he was earlier in the season. So at this minute, I don't think it'd be worth looking at from
but people not on free hit 34, would you advise, if he doesn't play well against Forest and then it's Newcastle away, would you advise selling then?
I mean, you'd look at 34 and you look at things like Eze and Elise. I think so. I mean, if Huang was back and then you're looking at Luton at home while Maddison plays Arsenal in 35, you're going to look at alternatives. For Eze or Elise, it's Fulham away. So you can even jump it and then jump back to Johnson or Richarlison instead. Obviously, look, if Richarlison gets back through the team, through the middle, that's more the one that you're going to want. I'm just not certain it's going to happen at this moment. I think Timo Werner's doing fine. He's ticking over. No one should really be going there, I don't think, as one of their FPL forwards at the moment. But he is ticking over. And should, I don't know, hypothetically, two injury-prone players like Rasmus Højlund and Alexander Isak get injured in the next 3 or 4 weeks, there'll be a surge for him, Just because of lack of forward options.
Yeah, fair enough.
Defensively, I think for those who were going new, I don't probably know why he would be at this stage, but it's Udogie over Porro at the moment. Both had good efforts in the game offensively. Udogie probably should have won it at the end, although, as said, it would have been undeserved.
That last 60 seconds
was carnage.
That was bonkers.
And it was so out of place with the rest of the football match. West Ham defended very well. These games can become quite tough for us if the tempo becomes slow and stuff. It's not criticism of West Ham. It's the best way to stop us. And I think, Forest are going to apply similar tactics on Sunday. So for me, I know there'll be plenty who want a captain Son, and his capability. There's no doubt about it, but not the best choice for me this week.
Fair play. Any more from the Planet FPL Derby before we move on?
No, I don't think so specifically, to be honest. No, I don't think many people are looking at investing in these two teams new. And I don't think people will be selling their Tottenham players this week. So it's probably more of a case for after.
Oh, happy days. On to the Wednesday fixtures. Arsenal 2, Luton 0. I was there.
Take it away.
Shout out Andy Martin. Called the mass rotation. First time Arteta's made five changes since September 2021.
And Andy is never wrong. And the people who think that he is are deluded.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, five changes to the Arsenal 11. I did not see that coming, to be fair. And I think the game was exactly what you'd expect with a rotated team from Arsenal and a Luton team who are like decimated with injuries at the minute. But saying that, despite that, I don't know if you were able to watch the game. I was really impressed by Luton in spells. They were playing some really nice football, had us in dangerous areas. Gabriel was making more blocks than I wanted him to be doing in that game. And yeah, I've got a real soft spot for them. I know like I shouldn't show any biases to any teams, but I do hope Luton stay up, to be honest. I
It
just
would be a
couldn't.
nice story if they
It
did for
would be a
them.
really nice story, yeah. And Rob Edwards really, really, yeah.
I really like him. I
So do
think
I.
if they went down, and it's not to say he'd walk out on them, but there'll be offers.
Yeah.
There'll be
Yeah,
offers.
I think so as well. But yeah, like I said, Luton did well in spells, but I think for Arsenal it was like just rotate five people, go in, get the 3 points and on to the next one. The fluidity wasn't quite what you'd expect, but in the
You've got
context
guys out
of
there like Nelson and Smith Rowe hardly play.
exactly. Obviously the big story was yeah, no Saka in the squad. So
What's your instinct on next?
instinct is I think he'll be back and start because he against Brighton. Obviously he did play against City and Arteta said he did train before the Luton game. So yeah, I think they just gave him this one fully off and I think he'll be back. Arteta did say this morning that he's not trained yet, but there is a session later today. So I think he'll, this is just an opinion, not based on any information. I think he'll train and start against Brighton, getting ready for the Bayern Munich game next Tuesday.
The only thing I'd say, and it's kind of part based on the Brighton lineup as well, I think it's Stupinan plays. And you've got to think the other way as well. Because he'll go.
Yeah.
He'll go. And it's not to say, I mean, Saka will do all his defensive, diligent work. We know that. What I'm saying is, it might be a physical encounter for him. And you've got Munich Tuesday as well.
Yeah, so you think
Is
there's
there a
one load?
chance that the zone and, put someone like Jesus on that side even?
Possibly, but I'd say I think Arsenal are at a stage now where I think while Arteta's wary of the opposition's strengths, I think he very much plays to Arsenal's strengths and tries to get them to adapt to Arsenal more than like making massive changes to like I think he obviously tweaks things based on the opposition. I don't think he'd go to the lengths of moving Saka out because of a Estupiñán, for example. But it's a possibility.
He said, I tell you what, I'm cautious as well,
Go
because your manager's bullshit.
on.
Sorry.
Like many others, so yeah.
It's not a secret that I don't like him. Most
No,
neutrals don't.
but
Whatever.
if
Fine.
you're gonna slate him, you have to do it to the others as
No, no,
well.
no. I don't. He's dislikable. We've been over this before. Anyway, it's off topic. But in the past, he's been, well, he hasn't trained yet. We don't know where he's at. Da, 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 da. And he said that again. But he'd also dislike, he said that he should be fine. He's been quite clear. He's like, it's not a major problem. He kind of almost alluded to say, like, if it had been a more high profile game, probably would have played, for example. I don't know. Just a bit cautious. It might be the other way, and
Okay.
there might be more of a problem. I
Yeah, I
wouldn't
think for
buy Saka this week, would you? But he's also
no.
would certainly, if you're heading towards a bench boost 34 or even just heading that way, you're not selling him, are you? You can't.
No, not at all. And this is what, yeah, it's like the kind of don't buy, don't sell sort of thing. It's yeah, that's why I just rolled it this week because I had Son to Saka planned. And I just thought, I know obviously with hindsight, Son didn't do anything, but there was too much uncertainty around Saka for me. But yeah, I think it's just a case of, yeah, you just have to kind of see what happens this weekend, really.
Obviously, look, if it became clear that he's not going to play, then I'm not saying, oh yeah, just hold it for the sake
Yeah.
of it. But without information like that, like I don't think you could consider moving it to Foden or Son or anything like that because of just what's immediately in front of you. Tough game though. And do you know what's interesting with Brighton is that their underlying numbers are not as bad as what it is on the eye. Like they always
Okay.
concede, right? And they've just kept a clean sheet, but normally they. But their underlyings are decent,
Yeah, it's going to be a
and
tough
they're
game, yeah.
always a challenge. You saw what Liverpool got from them last, and Liverpool deserved to beat them, right? Liverpool had too many chances. That's the other flip. you can have a lot of chances going the other way. Challenge though, I think it's a
Big.
shame for Brighton that they've had Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, which obviously you've also had. And that's the biggest reason, by the way, for this rotation. So when we said earlier about Bournemouth's rotation, there's two examples now with a midweek fixtures, we've seen quite a bit, you know, sort of four or five changes. With Arsenal in 34, I don't think you'll see that the same way. I think it just, they've literally, Arteta's made a decision and gone, this is what we got over this period. Da, 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 da. Okay, with respect to Luton, whatever team we put out should have enough. And it
Yeah, me
did,
too.
right?
Yeah.
And it's cruised through the second half. What was your XG in the second half? It was about 0.09 or something, wasn't it? You've
Yeah,
cruised through it.
didn't it? Yeah, it was a gear two kind of game, but obviously there was return for Odegaard and Havertz. Seen a few people going for Havertz actually recently. Don't hate it. I think he'll consistently be in the lineup, whether it's in the left eight or up front capacity. Odegaard doing what he does, and yeah, not much to write home about,
Which
really.
one would you go for from them two? I guess that would be more of a debate heading towards 34.
I would still go Odegaard just because I think, as you've seen in this game, it's the minutes. He's consistently there. He arrives in the box. He's always on the edge of the box for the cutback. But with, I'd say Havertz has more haul potential, but I personally would go Odegaard.
Yeah, I'd say what's interesting about it is, and again, although I said that I don't think we'll rotate much in 34, we should factor that the second leg against Bayern is the Wednesday before 34. So you play Bayern the Wednesday, Wolves the Saturday, Chelsea the Tuesday, and then it's the North London derby afterwards. It might end up, though, if you go through in the Champions League, or even definitely if you go out, then there's a 5-day gap between the Chelsea Tottenham fixtures, which I think then he might push hard for the three fixtures rather than this period. You've had four fixtures, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. I think, though, interestingly, for people like me who free hit, how I feel about the team that lines up against Wolves might determine what I go for as a third Arsenal asset. So, barring injury, I'm not going to move Gabriel for 34. Saka would certainly be in there as long as he's fit. The third one then becomes like White, Saliba, Raya, Odegaard, Havertz. There's a choice there. And I just wonder if I think Havertz will play at Wolves, if that becomes the choice for me, because I would certainly think he'd play for you against Chelsea.
I do as well.
And that could be a really nice one to punt into. I keep thinking double Arsenal defence, sure. That's a challenging 34. Wolves away and then Chelsea at home. For all the, you know, things we can say about Chelsea, to score regularly enough, and I've got a player individually we'll talk about in a bit, obviously. So, yeah, to be confirmed. If I was trying to buy the third Arsenal one, you're probably tempted to do it now, I guess. Like, if you're on two Liverpool, two Arsenal, and you think, oh, I want to get some Palace 34, it probably becomes the Arsenal player now.
I've been consistent in this for a long time. I'm very much in the double defense camp. Like, I just think you know what you're getting. And sure, like, even I get it, the run is tough, but I still think the level of this Arsenal defense is absolutely mind-blowing. That sure, the run's tough, but would I be surprised if Arsenal went and got three, four clean sheets on the bounce? Not particularly, to be honest.
Yeah, and we've also seen, that's part of what I said about considering Raya for myself as an actual transfer. We've also obviously seen that Arsenal keep clean sheet anywhere now. They keep clean sheet at City. You look at things like Tottenham away, United away. It's not to say that they definitely will, and it's probably less likely than likely, but capable. We know the capabilities. There's
That's the
no
word. It's
intention for
capability.
me to leave Gabriel out this weekend.
No, just a quick one before we move on, because I've seen a few people messaging me about the fullbacks, like White, Kiwior. If you're going for a defender, I would just stick with the centre backs. White, even though he's so durable, plays 90 minutes, I think there will be a game where Tomiyasu comes in. I don't know what one that will be. But I don't think Ben White will start every single Premier League game until the end of the season. I think the centre backs will.
I'm trying to think what game you'd have where that would be enough of a concern. Could it be this
Sorry,
weekend?
it's more for people buying. So, like, if you're buying, I would go with the centre back. If you've got him, like, no need to sell, but
Oh,
I'm
no, no,
very,
no. I'm just saying, looking at your fiction, I'm trying to think which one would be the one where there would be concern enough to use Tomiyasu. Like I'd said to you that I thought Bernardo Silva would play on the right against you. Therefore, he wouldn't play Tomiyasu. As soon as Doku went out, they went, yeah, sod that. I'm going to put Tomiyasu out there. I'm trying to think of the games you've got coming up where he'd look at one and think, yeah, this would be a good one to play Tomiyasu rather than Wyatt. I don't
It's more
see
from
it
the
there on
lens of
paper.
giving White a rest more than like, oh, we need Tomiyasu in for the profile of this winger. That's more the perspective I'm coming at it from.
I would suggest then the most likely one would be Wolves away.
Boom. Wolves away, Bournemouth at home potentially. I think there'll be one though.
If you went out the Champions League, by the time you get to Bournemouth, it don't matter no more, mate.
Yeah, true. True. But
As I told you, though, unfortunately, you won't go out of the Champions League.
We'll
For
see.
Luton, you and I have obviously just both watched them firsthand. And yeah, exactly what you said, kind of giving the flowers, right? Credit to them, especially with the injuries they've got at the moment. I assume they went back to a back three against you, Clayton. That's how it looks. Because
Very
obviously they
much
played
like
the
that.
back four against my team. They were so heavy man to man against mine. Did they do that against you or
Yeah,
not?
they did in periods, but then Rob Edwards gave a really good interview after the game saying like you try to go man to man, but then you lose it in a period and you're kind of forced into a zonal area that you don't want to be in. So I think they tried it, but obviously Arsenal off the ball were just a little bit too much for them.
Yeah, for those who've still got Luton assets, if you've held through Tottenham away and Arsenal away, I suppose there's a good reason why you're still holding. There'll certainly be people with Doughty. It's not a terrible one to play this week, obviously, Bournemouth at home. But just be aware that there's so many defensive issues for them at the moment. Edwards did hint that one of Osho or Burke could be back this weekend, and it would be helpful, but they are decimated with injuries. They've got four home games left of Bournemouth, Brentford, Everton, Fulham. It will define them.
Yeah, 100%.
Their home form against weaker teams this season has not been good.
No.
They've lost to Sheffield United, they've lost to Burnley. They drew with Forest.
Fair play. On to the next one. Brentford nil, Brighton nil. A thriller by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it wasn't, mate. I watched the first half of this and it wasn't great at all. Did you see the drama pre-game
I didn't know.
with Tony?
No, what have I missed?
So Brentford tweeted 15 minutes before kickoff, changed the lineup, and Bumo's in for Tony. It's the official Brentford account.
Oh, wow.
They deleted it, but that's what they tweeted. So I know people in Sky took him out.
Oh, no.
Well, you would, the official account tweeted it. And people sitting there going, "Oh, I can go to like Nunes tomorrow, or someone else who was playing that night, Punt Alvarez or whatever." Yeah, it was people who took him out. Just don't doubt if it comes, if the official account
So
tweets
what?
15 minutes before kickoff is not playing, and there's a few people bought him and sold him.
Do you think there was a chance he wasn't, or do you think that was just an admin error?
No, but I've not seen anything that's confirmed why that happened, but 100% that's what Brentford tweeted 15 minutes before kickoff.
Wow.
It wasn't one of them kind of lazy ones that looked like they'd been hacked. It was like,
Yeah, it looked
Tony's
like a
out.
legitimate
We've got to make,
scheduled
we've been
post.
enforced to change. Tony's out. Bumo's starting. They put a picture of Bumo looking like it's from the warm up. Yeah.
Damn.
And then the teams come out and Tony was still there.
I
And
wonder if that was to try throw Brighton.
I don't think they deleted the tweet till after the game started.
Whoa,
I don't think so. Anyway, he played. Not that he did anything. He had one half decent moment in the first half where he cut inside, I think it was Van Hek, and he should have taken an extra touch and he kind of swung his foot at it. He hasn't scored, Tony, I think, since they played Liverpool. In game with 25, about seven or so, he hasn't scored. That won't go on forever. I'm not sitting there as a Tony owner worried about
No.
that. There's a choice for me to play him or Bailey this weekend, and I think I just play Tony.
I think so, yeah.
I think
To
so.
me, that's not really close. I'm gonna regret saying that, but
They will definitely change to a back four this game or the next game, I think. But not sure which. The one interesting one will be in terms of a line for people, and it probably doesn't matter so much for this week, but it might for 33, was Keane Lewis-Potter played again at left wing back rather than Sergio Reguilón. And I was annoyed with myself that I didn't discuss this with Suj on Sunday night. Not that I thought that would happen, but I was annoyed that I didn't discuss that. I thought Lewis-Potter against Manchester United was excellent. He was really good. It was the best I'd seen of him. And it didn't. In reflection, it didn't surprise me that he stayed in the team because his performance was so good. Now, I only watched the first half of this and it wasn't great. And obviously, Brentford spent large periods without the ball. But there's no guarantee that Reguilón will come back in. The thing with Reggie is that concentration is bad. However, go back to a back four, you would think he's a natural for a left back. The back four enables them to get to the position that Vissa, Tony and Bumo all play, right?
Yeah.
That's why you imagine they'll want to do it. And on paper, you think, well, they won't do it at Villa.
But Sheffield United after that.
No, but they might do it at Villa.
Oh, okay.
Purely because Frank has been very clear. He's like, I want to get Bumo back in this team as quickly as I can. And there's also the admin error here where we know, or we think, that Bumo was then going to start.
Yeah.
So it can't be that far off being ready. Frank has basically said he's ready.
Well, he came on, right?
I think Vissa's playing pretty well at the moment. Be harsh for him to come out. Now, could they just go Bumo Tony up front at Villa? Sure. Of course they could. But imagine for Sheffield United, they'll go back to a back four. They'll have winnable runs for the rest of the season. And I think they'll get the points they need to pull themselves away from the relative shit that they're in. But they're ticking over. So they're on, what, 28? That's six clear of Luton. I mean, they shouldn't be safe on that points total. But they've, I think with the fixtures they got left, I don't really hold much concern for them.
Me either.
And I think a switch is coming. And I think very interestingly for Brentford, for people like me on free hit 34, wildcard 35, this time next week we're going to be going home.
Yeah.
And I already said about, sod it. Arsenal the best defensively. If I want to make a keep change, just go Raya. Don't want to cut myself off of that Bailey Bumo move in case I decide to go Bumo for 33.
Lekin could be the one.
And if he gets minutes this week that's good enough, that's a likely transfer for me in game week 33, I think.
I need to see the stats to back this up. I always feel like he's in and around save points. And yeah, he tends to have a couple of holes in him, Flecken as well.
Save points? Oh, Flecken?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I kind of concluded as well was I might just look at him in 33 as well.
Yeah.
Rather than, it's Villa away this week. You're not fancying anything.
No, of course.
So if I genuinely did land next week and go, I don't know what to do here with a second transfer, yeah, I would maybe consider that. Because even against an opponent like Sheffield United, yeah, the whole potential's there. You know, the other one I was looking at as well was Onana. Sounds okay. Ridiculous because they're playing Liverpool this week, right? Yeah. But every time they do pull off a clean sheet,
he pulls.
Yeah, basically. He's normally like 8 or 9 if they get like a clean sheet. Even last night, he's got 2, despite them conceding 4, because he's made 6 saves.
Yeah.
And he has to make so many saves. I'll come back to that in a bit. So, yeah, I even wondered about that, maybe. So I was like, oh, you're overthinking, James. Just played Dubravka for his 1 point at Fulham and not bother. Yeah, Flecken will be a reasonable one, particularly for those. In fact, Brentford assets just generally from 33 onwards, for those without chips and not bench boosting and stuff like that, are going to be perfectly reasonable. I'm keen to keep an eye on them, even for the wildcard 35, because the running's good.
Yeah.
And those heading for bench boost are not going Brentford on wildcard 35, so there's an alternative route to take there. Again, if you're working through, even in 34... You know, if you end up playing like a Tony or a Bumo away to Luton as part of a bench boost in 34,
yeah,
like,
that's fine.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's worst things that can happen for you. For Brighton, rotation, as you'd have expected.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Verbruggen might be becoming first choice. I'm not suggesting anyone goes there as their option, but I think picking keepers for bench boost 37 currently looks rough. And maybe just keep an eye on that. That I don't know. I have an inkling now that he might be becoming the number one. He's put in a couple of good displays. He played well at Liverpool, despite them getting beat. Van Heck Dunk, stay in the team. Gross, stay in the team. The rest of it becomes, as per usual, a lottery.
Yeah. João
Pedro was back.
Mm-hmm.
And fitness-wise, of what I watched in the first half, he looked fine. They were moving very much from a back four to a back three in possession. So they pushed Joel Veltman, who's not really the most suitable to do it, quite high on the right-hand side. Adingra held touchline on the left. Without the ball, João Pedro kind of funneled towards the left-hand side, and Lallana kind of stayed as the front, as the first point of defence and stuff. Quite interesting, but they can do unique and different things. There's a few things that will definitely change for the lineup against Arsenal. One is a certainty that Danny Welbeck will play up front.
Yeah.
So if someone's suddenly gone, João Pedro, brilliant. Listen, João Pedro may well play again, but I'm fairly certain that Danny Welbeck will play at Arsenal. And I still think that Danny Welbeck is part of what Roberto De Zerbi primarily wants to do. But I've spoken about this with João Pedro. He might become the one of choice that lands for people who want a third forward heading towards game week 37. But the fixtures aren't great otherwise. And that obviously starts with this week at home to Arsenal. So I think Brighton are a monitor at the moment. Van Heek is the most likely one to make it for me. Just 4 million defender, fine. I'd almost be looking at him, I think, because I'm not bench boosting and I'll be wild carding in that direction, though. I'll almost look at him as 12th man. Whereas if I get an injury and can't replace something, fine, he's got a double instead. That's kind of my take on him.
Sure.
At the moment. They'll give you a game, Kites.
Ah, I know they will. I'm just gonna, we'll see that my prediction.
I think
later.
You'll go there and win, but they'll give you a game.
I think it'll be very, very tight. Yeah. But yeah, moving it on from a 0-0 to a 4-1. Man City 4, Aston Villa 1. Phil Foden hat-trick. You owned him, I think. Yeah, you said you owned him.
Yeah. Might sell him.
Wow, that's... Yeah, bank the points and cash it in.
Well, it's something I'm going to think about today. If the news came out that he wasn't in the team, do I consider it?
I think if there's other people...
Considering I'm on like a 2-week gig. Now, the problem is, if you're looking at Luton next week and going, I'm just going to buy him back, possibly. So I don't think I'd go down that route. Because like I said, I've got a good bench this week. I'd just put him on the bench, I think. Would be more likely for me. But I'll give it a bit of thought. Yeah, I would not be surprised at all if he doesn't start that fixture tomorrow.
Yeah.
Should think about it logically. Haaland and De Bruyne have had a full rest. So we assume they'll play, won't they? Or will he just hold De Bruyne back for Madrid on Tuesday?
Yeah, not sure. I'll keep an eye on Luke Disable's timeline and the other predictors.
Well, the guys who have the City legs will probably have something when it's the 12:30 kickoff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hold your transfers till 10:55 tomorrow morning, probably, guys. As that's the 12:30 kickoff. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some City information. What we can't doubt is obviously Haaland will now play.
Yeah.
That's, I presume, is a certainty.
I think
The rest is in. Guardiola was at pains to reiterate that he still has the best striker in the world after the game. And no one's particularly arguing in terms of his goal scoring output, although Alexander Isak wants to have an argument with an empty room now, I've said that. So Haaland obviously... I think with that information, Haaland leaps back above the likes of Son for captaincy this week, if people weren't thinking that way. But, you know, Palace are going to be back five without the ball.
Yeah, I think they can make it difficult, you know.
Of course they can. Of course they can. I mean, Palace have not been overrun by anyone, really, since Oliver Glasner came in. They do have an issue, Palace, where they're conceding, ironically, should I sell Foden if he's benched? Palace have an issue. I spoke about this after they played us. I bet substitutes start scoring goals against them because I think he's working them harder in preparation for next year in terms of their off the ball stuff. And I think they're fatiguing a bit later in games.
Sure.
It might even be that to bear in mind if there was a surprise benching this week for a Manchester City player. Haaland won't be one of them. As I said, I think it's Haaland versus Palmer for the captaincy for me. In terms of the goalkeeper situation I've got, if Pep did say, yeah, Edison's got no chance till May.
That's a good point. I'll
buy Ortega, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Palace away, Luton at home, yeah. I'll go there.
Yeah, good point.
But Pep had said Edison was nowhere near ready, but then we thought he was training before Arsenal. So I think he can't be that far away. So I need a bit of clarity on that to consider that sort of move. But yeah, for two games, I think that leaps above Petrovic for the move. And I don't really want to get Petrovic. It's already got Gusto.
Yeah.
And they're conceding goals anyway. So I don't really want to go into...
Again, music to my ears.
I know it's Sheffield United and Everton, but I wouldn't be surprised if they both score against Chelsea. That's the conclusion I've come to, particularly after watching that again last night. So eyes on Ortega maybe as a short-term one. For me, for most others who want to invest in City, and I guess there'll be probably a number might wildcard in 33 specifically to then free hit 34 and come off the other side. I think those particularly have got kind of injury problems, not happy with the team, can't wait anymore. That will happen. I can't wait anymore.
Yeah.
Get that. And you'd have City, Liverpool and Arsenal all with home fixtures again. I can see that potentially appealing for some. And at that point, you're gonna look at a City defensive. You're gonna under that, you're gonna go Haaland, Foden, and I think you're gonna want a City defensive one. Best choice in your opinion, Clates, would be?
I think it's Vardy, mate. Honestly.
Yeah, I
think
agree with that at the moment.
With the Ake injury as well. I think it's him. 4.8, I think he is.
I just think if you're getting it specifically for 37, good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's too far away to have any clue what City defender is going to play twice in 37, or if it's even going to matter.
Yeah.
They might have the title won. They might be completely out of the race. Who
Yeah.
knows over this little period? So I obviously hope they've done one way or the other before they play my team in 37, right? Hopefully that's they've done you. Do you know what I mean? Rather than the other way around. I've become a closet Liverpool fan now as well.
I can tell, yeah.
I'm happy to admit that. Just for the next 6 weeks or so, other than game week 36, obviously. Yeah, if Liverpool could see you off before 36, that would also be handy. That also requires my team to do something against you in 35. Yeah, I think Vardy, although, yeah, I agree with that. But there's minutes there for Rico Lewis, isn't there, at the
Yeah, there
moment.
is.
That's obviously really cheap. He inverted from right back a lot, went into midfield. Bernardo Silva played a higher role. We have a Doku and Grealish played in the wide areas, which is obviously how they finish against you. That Jeremy Doku is. He's got all the ability. But I've spoken about this before. I think he must do Haaland's brain in.
What
Because you
decision
don't know what he's
making?
going to do, mate.
Yeah.
You don't know when that cross is coming or how it's coming. And I think there's times I've seen Haaland. I'm not making this move now. It was after they beat Man United, I spoke about it. So he's not making a move, Haaland, because he doesn't know if
He
Doku's
doesn't know
going
if
to.
he's going to get it. Yeah.
Yeah, whereas with Grealish or Bernardo's or Foden's, Haaland knows what he's getting service-wise, obviously De Bruyne as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Doku comes back out the team because I know Haaland's going back in it at the weekend. So yeah, it's Foden, Haaland, and then I think yeah, Gvardiol, if people did want to look defensively. Eyes on Ortega, subject to the Edison situation. They well deserve to win. Obviously, Foden's got a brilliant hat trick, although
Yeah.
the first one is obviously very fortuitous because of the wall
His
on the free
expected
kick.
goals was 0.47 according to FotMob.
Well, that's what I said. His combined distance of
Yeah.
goals is about 65 yards or so, isn't it? So,
Outrageous.
yeah, that's not going to happen very often. But then when you've got players of that quality, you shouldn't rule out that sort of thing happening. Yeah, I completely get people going to be interested in. But I think in any case, if you are buying City new this week, try and leave it till the morning where possible. I realize not everyone can do that. I probably wouldn't buy this week. I
Yeah.
wouldn't be looking and now. I hope phone's got actually. I've got to fix that immediately. Unless you're in a really bad situation, I don't think I'd do that this week. Next week will be scarier
Yeah, agree with
against
that.
Luton. And I think it's worth reminding people it's Madrid Tuesday, Luton Saturday, Luton Wednesday. So you go, oh, they'll rotate against Luton like Arsenal did. The spacing of them games, that extra day either side is important. I don't think City mass rotate when they play Luton in 33.
So say that again. So it's Madrid Tuesday, Luton
Saturday
Saturday.
and then
And then
Madrid
Madrid
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay.
So it's same for you. You're not going to mass rotate against Villa, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
Although your game's obviously the Sunday, but for City, it's perfect 4 days afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not to say City definitely picked their first 11, but I'm saying I wouldn't doubt Haaland playing the Luton game, for example. And so for those getting annoyed with him, oh, we've got all these players doing, he's 14 million, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, that's game week 33 caps in for me,
Yeah.
Haaland. Don't want to argue with that at all with Luton's defensive issues. Despite the fact, yes, sure, they've done perfectly reasonable against our two teams over the last week or so. Yeah, City, with maybe looking at a goal difference. Yeah, no.
No.
No, not an argument. On Villa, it did all
Lots of
right, really,
changes.
considering the circumstance. Well, Emi Martinez came out through illness. I
Yeah.
think Unai Emery made a decision here based on being without the likes of Watkins and McGinn to give people a chance and almost treat this like a bit of
Free hit.
a free swing. I think that Duran and Diaby were really lively, which should be a note of caution for someone like me with Bailey, who I'm kind of, I was going to say, at the end of my tether with. I'm not actually, because he's been really good for me, but I'm certainly in a position where I'm prepared to lose it, basically. Diaby was good. Duran took the goal very well. He's a very really willing worker and runner, and he's very good technically. He links the play really well, John Duran. He would, I imagine, under the extraordinary circumstance where Ollie Watkins joins Tottenham for £150 million in the summer, Villa would be all right with John Duran up front in their
Yeah.
long-term future. He was linked with Chelsea in January, wasn't he?
I missed that.
Yeah, he
Okay.
was, John Duran, yeah. Because what do Chelsea need? More young players. Yeah, Villa were in this without being in it, let's say. You always felt that City had him at arm's length and were going to win the game. But even like Douglas Luiz had a good moment at 2-1 as well. They had the odd moment. 4-1 was harsh
Again.
In the end. City certainly deserved to win. You'd obviously get changes to that Villa lineup again at the weekend. So Pau Torres, I'd expect to come back in. Alex Moreno, I'd expect to come back in. John McGinn will definitely come back in. I would expect Bailey to come back in. Watkins, obviously fitness dependent. It looks like most have already sold Watkins. It'd be really interesting if he did play. It'd be really interesting to see what his EO would be at the weekend.
Because first time below 100 in a while, maybe.
So many people will have come off, and it's perfectly understandable. Just a reminder, though, if you're stuck and you've got other problems, if it looks like he's going to play, even if you're bench boosting 34, Bournemouth at home 34 is fine. For an Ollie Watkins, you're having a bench boost with that. It's fine. So I think the two home games Villa have in the next three are important for them. If they win them both, I think that there's every chance they'll still finish fourth.
Okay.
If they don't win on Saturday, they'll get nervous.
Yeah. You'll breathe Tottenham breathing down their neck now, yeah.
But both of us, I think, have every right, particularly after last night again, to feel completely safe as in fourth and fifth. It's very difficult to foresee anyone below, even with the fixture list. Villa and Tottenham both got really difficult. The gap just looks too big.
Yeah, I've said this for a while. I think, I don't know in what order, but I think it'll be Villa, Tottenham, fourth, fifth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any more for any more on that?
It'll be close between Villa, Tottenham. I don't think you're investing in Villa. No, City we've covered, mate.
Happy days. On to yesterday's games. Liverpool 3, Sheffield United 1. And at one point, it was potentially squeaky bum time, but I always felt like Liverpool were going to get the win.
So I was watching Chelsea United. Well, I watched the first half of this, and I was watching Chelsea United, and then it come up that Sheffield United had equalised. So I thought, well, let's whack it back over. Because it was approaching half-time of Chelsea United anyway. Then I missed Bruno Fernandes' score. Typical. As I turned it over to the Liverpool game, all I saw was Salah going off. I was like, no way. The clock was like 59:40 or so. Yeah, what a sum up of the game week. Those who'd captained Salah, which we know was obviously the majority, must have been Haaland and Saka, zero pointers.
That was me. Obviously, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I was hoping Liverpool would blank and get nothing. But with the fantasy cap, I was like, oh, I've won here. Like, all in Saka, nothing. Salah's home, Sheffield United. I was like, oh, yeah, probably hat-trick coming here.
Yeah, and it was nothing like the Brighton game. I think he had three efforts in his hour or so. But I think his XG was about 0.14 or something. There was always a kind of cautious warning, look, you're going to get a back five instead. That holds a little bit of relevance. I actually think, by the way, going back to captaincy, I think Salah is a better choice this week than Son.
Okay, you're really not keen on Son then?
No, I'm keen on attacking Manchester United's defensive numbers.
Yeah, we'll get on that. It's bad.
So yeah, no major concern on that. I listen, I've been here before with Mo Salah away to Old Trafford and not owned, and I'm in a rare position this time where I've got it and I'm happy that he's sitting there.
Yeah.
And no, I do think probably Haaland or Palmer are better choices this week. But if someone wants to captain Mo Salah this weekend, I am not going to talk anyone out
Me
of it
either.
At all. Because he'll find the space, certainly, way more of a... And let's be honest, just based on average shots against Manchester United, we could probably put Salah around 4 or 5, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just some kind of a par of that. So, yeah, he's perfectly reasonable for the weekend. I think big one as well. Endo was rested, so should come back in. And that should mean a more advanced role again for Alexis McAllister, whose goal was a thing of beauty.
He's just got that in this locker, it feels like.
Yeah, it was a well when he hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You knew it was pure. He just cuts across it.
He's done that before.
Is that angle
well,
behind Van Dijk, isn't it? We could see, yeah. Good luck saving that, mate. You've got no chance. And what's that, 7 in a row? He's returned in now.
Is it Alexis
McAllister, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So even in this deeper role, he's obviously still found a return. Now, listen, obviously, that's how Witt's a thunder bastard from distance. But in the more advanced position recently, where he's been playing ahead of Endo, he's been chipping in. And here's what I do know about him as well. He'll play twice in 34.
Yeah.
Like, if that matters to people, Fulham away and Everton away, yeah, he'll be playing. And if he's playing as an 8, I think that's quite interesting. There'll be a lot of, well, is Diaz going to play twice? Jota, we think, is going to be borderline whether he's back. Is Nunes going to play twice? Yeah, it could easily be for me on free hit, like Salah, Van Dijk. I might just go McAllister.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I might do. I might do, because I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm getting returns, but I know what I'm getting in terms of him on the pitch. And if Mo loses any minutes, it's on the pens and stuff as well, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
So he's ticking over really nicely. I'm not sure I'd want to go and buy him per se, but I think I can understand why people heading towards 34 are looking at him. I also think, I said this on Sunday as well, if people did go there, it's almost inevitable from there you end up with like Gordon or Garnacho in 35, I think.
Yeah.
If you go down that route. But he's ticking over nicely. Conor Bradley owners also had their game week summed up by a comical own goal, of which it was, there's nothing he could do about it. Just,
again,
obviously
I own
hits
him,
and
started him.
And goes through Kelleher's legs. I mean, 0 pointer at home, the Sheffield United, you're gutted, aren't you? You're just counting the minimum 6 points from the minute it kicks off. Or maybe you weren't, because James McAtee should have scored for Sheffield United in the first minute. And they nearly scored from the corner straight afterwards as well. They equip themselves fine, Sheffield United. Just a kind of typical one for them when they're playing a team that's obviously far superior. You're going to get done eventually.
Yeah.
In the end, I'm afraid. And that's been a theme for them for a lot of the season in some of these games that have been tighter. So I think with Sheffield United, I've heard a little bit of noise of sort of Diaz and McAtee for those heading towards 34. McAtee obviously played last night, but then Ollie McBurnie didn't. And I think McBurnie was pretty important to the performance against Fulham at the weekend before. So I think McBurnie will probably come back in against Chelsea.
Okay.
And McBurnie would certainly take some of McAtee's minutes in 34. McAtee and Diaz both appeal, because potentially if they play like last night, they're both OOP. Diaz is the one that's the goal scoring potential, really, though. So the first game of the double in 34 is Burnley at home.
Yeah, and Man United away, like,
it's true. They'll have chances.
They'll have chances. Like, I'm not even trying to be horrible there. I genuinely think they will.
I would not be buying those players personally, but I might have a look at Diaz maybe for 34. I still don't see me picking him over, like, if Olise's fit.
No.
Or Eze. Would I even want to pick him over Garnacho, who would just have Sheffield United at home at a similar price?
Probably
I'm
not
sure.
Yeah.
So I think largely overlooking it. In terms of the Liverpool defensive ones, well, Van Dijk's your only one that's safe.
Yeah.
You think you've got a bit more of Conor Bradley, because we think now Trent and Alisson not going to be available this week. And again, it might even be pushing towards 34 now rather than 33. But it could easily be Gomez at right back, and Robertson's back now at left back at Old Trafford on Sunday. So if you owned it, would you start it? I guess it's dependent on other players, isn't it?
I'm looking to move Bradley on personally. Like I said, I'm looking at a Braithwaite, an Aitonori or something. Just feel like, yeah, it's a nice time to move on to something else for me personally.
Everton fans especially just laughed at you, mate. Just...
Yeah, I don't know. Burnley at home, and then...
Everton fans have just gone, you want to sell from the best team in the league to the worst.
Well, they're not one of the best defensively, though, are they? Liverpool.
No, okay, fine.
Yeah. No, I wasn't even saying
one. I mean, to be fair, Everton's defensive have been fine, about fifth or sixth for goals conceded, Everton, I think. It's just a shame about goals scored. Okay, yeah, I mean, Liverpool made hard work of this, but I'm not surprised. I didn't think Nunes would start, for example, because I just thought they'd be saving something in the tank for United. And I think the whole game was saving something in the tank. Then panic obviously set in after Sheffield United scored for 10, 15 minutes or so. But you didn't really think that they weren't going to win it.
Not for a second, no.
They really picked up a different tempo when Gakpo came on. Gakpo particularly came on and was tearing about, and it lifted their energy. That's not to say Gakpo is a threat to Nunes, Diaz or Salah. He obviously is a minutes threat, but I'm pretty sure Salah, Nunes, Diaz will be the front three at Man United on Sunday.
Yeah. Agree. Are we moving on to the thriller? The final game of the game week. Chelsea 4, Man United 3. You hear the terms Prime Barclays thrown around quite a lot. I feel like this was absolutely bonkers. I don't even know where to start with this.
Here's where I'll start. My emotions during the game, quite interesting because I have no love lost for Chelsea, but I was sitting there going, yeah, do you know what? I don't mind if Chelsea do the business here, to be honest. I'm quite happy with that.
Why?
Well, because if United won, it was 6 points behind us, right?
Oh, again, I don't think you need to
We
worry
got
about them.
tough fixtures though, right? So looking at it and going, not sure I want United to win a game like that. So Chelsea go two up, and I'm to be honest, I'm already looking at like my flights to Bulgaria and Romania and all sorts, just in case Villa still beat my team and stuff like that. And then they threw it away. I was pretty pissed off with Chelsea that they threw the game away. And then obviously they've won it back at the end, and you can completely get the emotions of that, where people say, oh, Chelsea are still 10th or whatever they are. You win a game of football. I went through this with against us against Sheffield United in game week 5. You win a game of football like that, I don't give a shit who it's against. Never mind, I mean, especially against the Manchester United, you're gonna go mental.
Yeah,
The
you're
context
a
of
robot if you
the
don't.
context of everything else does not matter. It's just one game of football where you're losing in the 98th, 99th minute or something, and you win. Yeah. Took my record for latest Premier League win, but I don't care. Mentally, I'm keeping my own one. For United, we might as well just get onto them first in terms of these numbers. So
Yeah.
I mentioned on Sunday night's pod that they'd conceded the most shots of any Premier League team in 2024. We can go one better than that now. That's any team in Europe's top five leagues.
Wow, it's pathetic. That is really bad.
I mean, it's rough, conceding like 25 shots every game, mate.
Yeah, do you know? It's interesting because I've said this for a while. Structurally, I just don't see anything from them, and I think it's a huge coaching problem. And I don't know. I think that's a huge coaching problem with Man United. When you're talking about statistics like that, with the quality of players they do have, for me, that's a coaching thing there. I think he's terrible, Ten
I
Hag.
also think there's an individual thing as well. Sometimes there's certain things you can't legislate for. Anyone's watching the game live would have had a moment where they've gone, what's Casemiro done there? So there was a, it might have been a 1-0 or 2-0. Someone ran past Casemiro, and if I said to you he was running back in a trot, I'd have been being kind. What is that? Are you completely unfit? Are you injured? What is it?
Yeah.
Because Casemiro was extraordinary for United for 6 months last year, right? It was brilliant. He actually transformed what they were doing in that area of the pitch. And we said he needed help in it. We played with Minho, right? So that's in the first half. It's not like, oh, it's 10 minutes to go and you've got nothing left in the tank. You're an old man. I get it. This was early in the game and he just had no interest. No, and Mudryk should have scored. Now, that's not on the manager. You might say it's on the manager's issue to pick that sort of player. It's not on the manager.
But
That's a mentality issue as well, mate.
is it on the manager to create a structure where you don't get exposed like that? Because again, we've spoken about Xhaka, Jorginho, and I've seen those players struggle in other systems and then come into a system where there's limited space and you've got a good coach who narrows the margins within which you play.
So what's also interesting is despite all the shots they gave up last night, this will get forgotten. United looked like they'd won. After McTominay came on for Casemiro, McTominay actually, for a period, he played really deep and he actually did a good little breaking job for United. And Chelsea looked like they'd run out of ideas. In the first sort of 6 minutes or so of added time, United were taking the piss out of them.
No.
They were in complete control. They were managing the game really well. And you just thought they'd win. And that narrative then, what we talk about now, if that madness at the end doesn't happen, you'd go, they managed that situation really well. They've come back from 2-0 down and won 3-2 at Stamford Bridge. Credit.
Yeah.
They've
But they
just had a mad
didn't.
ending.
But I think it's not a one-off though, is it?
Of
Like,
course it's not.
that's the thing. It's
But
like,
there is a
yeah.
fine line with the narratives, and
Of course there
particularly
is,
around
absolutely.
United, that you and I are having to, if they've come back and they've won 3-2, you and I ain't going, ah, oh, shit, they conceded 29 shots on goal again or whatever it was. We go, they've come back from 2-0 down. The mentality is good. Rah,
I
rah,
still
rah.
think I'd be mentioning the shots thing though, because it's a repetitive
Yeah,
theme with
true.
them.
Certainly in terms of Mo Salah for the weekend and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that completely. Yeah, I mean, they'll be bashing their head against a brick wall. From the fantasy perspective, obviously cut the goals for Garnacho. I know it did really well for you, Clay. Something you auto-subbed for a few people this week. You didn't auto-sub for you, in fairness. And it would have been perfectly reasonable for those who did bench him this week. I completely get that. He's the United player of choice.
Yeah.
If you land at 35 and are like, but I can play for Fernandes or I can play for Rashford. Like, if you want to go differential and make that choice, do it. Don't make that choice because of money, though.
Yeah.
Because Garnacho is the better choice. Rashford, I think, was rested. And I think will come back in against Liverpool at the weekend. Anthony's assist, by the way, for Garnacho's second goal is...
That's outrageous.
Look,
I've been harsh on him before, but to generate that... Because it's almost like he didn't have enough of a backlift either to generate that power, accuracy and curve from like his running stance. My jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God.
It's also his first assist of the season. So
what an assist it was.
Just about well that he made it a good one. Yeah. Worth the wait. I wonder if United fans think that it was worth the wait. Garnacho is obviously going to be looked at for fantasy. And if people got a problem in that area, I don't hate buying it this week. You know, he's going to play. I'm sure United will have chances themselves against Liverpool. United have performed very well in their two home games against Liverpool over the last couple of years. Defensively, it's a mess at the moment, and it's not helped by the fact Martinez is going to be out for the rest of this month, and so too is Victor Lindelof. They swapped Dalot and Wan-Bissaka. So Dalot played left back. You obviously see him. The one benefit on that side is the cross for Bruno Fernandes' goal. I think Dalot is of real interest after Liverpool for the run-in that I wouldn't have concern about his minutes. Wan-Bissaka, I would. Luke Shaw, we think, will be back around about game week 37, which is also worth bearing in mind. Martinez and Lindelof will both return before that, but that's a hole. Also, Varane went off again last night. Johnny Evans also went off last night. Cambuala looks a decent talent, but I would suggest him alongside Maguire on Sunday probably tips the balance of me thinking this is the danger game for Liverpool from thinking, well, if that's what United have got at the back, I don't see Liverpool not scoring enough goals to go and win the game.
Yeah,
it's probably
agreed.
My take now. Liverpool just need to be sensible off the ball, and they should now go there and win if that's United's backline situation. For Chelsea... I mean, Cole Palmer, the numbers are absurd.
It's a joke.
He's in contention for the Golden Boot, mate.
I know. And even what you said earlier, he's probably in contention for player of the season, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think, people get, you've got to pick a player from the team that wins the league. It's Chelsea's individual player by miles.
Yeah.
By miles. Oh, let me pick a City player for player of the year. Who do you pick?
Probably Rodri.
Right, who do you pick for Arsenal?
I'd say Rice, Odegaard.
Who'd you pick for Liverpool?
I don't know. That's a tough one with Liverpool.
Right.
Yeah. But like with Chelsea.
In terms of an individual award, I'm tired of this. Individual players have got to win team trophies. Oh, the Ballon d'Or winner's got to win the Champions League and the World Cup and shit like that. You're the best player in the world over 12 months. Give them the award. And Cole Palmer has been as good as any player in the league over the last 8 months. I would have no problem if he won.
Really, I'm not quite there. I get where you're coming from, but I don't think it's quite there. Yeah.
I'd go for Rodri if they win the league. for Chelsea, obviously, good luck to anyone who's not got. I mean, surely you fix that now. Sheffield United, how are you going to look at that if you've not got?
Yeah.
His price is not a reason not to fix it. No. Is there?
I don't know what his EO is, to be fair. I don't know how highly owned he is at the moment. Yeah.
I think him and Haaland will probably both be over 100 this week, I think.
Yeah.
But I think with what he's done, he's kind of read the room a little bit. If you're worried about it, Palmer's going to be the bigger worry. There'll be a surge for him.
Yeah.
And we should also note cautious, how many times have we captain players against Sheffield United and it's let us down this season? This is true, right?
Yeah.
Salah home and away. Against them, Ollie Watkins home to Sheffield United, Heung-min Son home to Sheffield United, Bukayo Saka 5-0 against Sheffield United, only a pony assist. But yeah, Palmer, I think for me,
that was always good to see we're learning from our mistakes.
If anything, I'm more put off by the fact he scored five in the last two.
Why? Because you just think that can't keep up.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, it's still it's two penalties and it's a deflected shot.
I was just going to say the
But
same thing,
also at
yeah.
the same time, you'd alluded to it earlier. What was it? Eight shots
Eight
and nine
chances.
chances created or something?
Eight chances created, yeah.
I mean, that's again, it probably speaks volumes about Manchester United because he won't have those numbers at Sheffield United. But
No.
also, let's also factor in what Sheffield United have done in some of their home games, right? 5-0 Brighton, 5-0 Villa, 6-0 Arsenal, even the 3-3 with Fulham. They've still conceded three in the second half in that game
Yeah, he's more
last
than
week.
capable, of course.
So the away games at Sheffield United have proved generally fine for people. So yeah, I think it's Cole Palmer
In
captaincy
terms
for
of
me.
the general game, like that, you wouldn't think there was like 200 million pounds worth and more of midfielders with the lack of control in this game. It's absolutely bonkers.
When Caicedo made the mistake for the goal, I thought, calm down, mate. Like, it's a bad error, he looked like he really had just realised he'd left the oven on and actually someone had already
And the
told him that
house
the
was
house had
burning.
burnt down. Yeah. You're still winning, mate. All right, it's bad.
But it's not the
Get
end
on
of
with
the
it.
world. Yeah.
He looked so distraught.
His head went after that, I think.
And I thought, yeah, calm down a little bit. And then obviously United score again quite quickly afterwards. Obviously, I was watching Mo Salah walk off the pitch at this point. And you think that they've blown it. And when I can only imagine what Chelsea fans were thinking when Garnacho put United 3-2 up. I suppose, how?
Yeah.
How? How have you got themselves in that position? And you could look at it a different way and say, Onana should save Gallagher's goal. It's a penalty for 2-0. Should United have been 2-0 down in the first place? Questionable. But you can't look at them numbers of efforts and stuff and that Chelsea have had and not think they deserve to have to come back, basically, really. Other than, like I said, United were managing injury time really well. It will get forgotten.
Yeah.
And then even from after the equaliser, they had madness, didn't they? Where they overcommit going forward. It was like the West Ham Tottenham ending, wasn't it? In fact, a lot of the game was just more like the end of that West Ham Tottenham game. And then to not pick him up from the corner and stuff. Onana, by the way, people will pick up again the Gallagher goal. His problem is shots that are close to him.
It's like he's not able to actually react quick enough to ones that are too close.
Yeah, that's the problem for him. If you look at his mistakes, you'll see the majority of them are shots that are near to him rather than one in the corner that he should save. They're ones that are too close to him. He's struggling. I wonder if you should consider kicking. This might sound weird. My goalkeeper expert, correct me on that. But I don't know if in circumstances like that, because he's so good with his feet as well, if he should just react with his feet.
That's a really good point I hadn't thought of now. I'm thinking reactions and Onana. Even there's a couple of times you see something deflected and he seems really slow to actually react to like the change in direction of a.
Things take deflections is fair enough.
Yeah, no, but it's just more putting that with what you've just said about things being close to him. Maybe it is just a reactions thing with him.
Yeah, despite all that, I already said, and even though United's defensive, I'm looking at goalkeepers potentially for two games and I'm hardly un highly unlikely to make a move. But I've even said to you, I still consider him.
Yeah.
Still consider him. Because they'll probably concede every game, but in the double, he still gets seven, eight, maybe, even if they concede a couple. So Onana's of real interest for me for the end. I think Dalot would be the other defensive one I'd have my eyes on rather than looking at the likes of Maguire because I think that situation could change. Garnacho, don't see how I don't go there. And I may well look at punting Rashford at the end, but I think it's more likely I go Hoyland.
Okay.
I think wild card is in 35, and this is probably a note for people who are not. It fitness wise is going to be Hoyland, Isak, and Haaland. That's the three that
Kind of
most
picks
people with
itself,
wild
doesn't
card
it?
in 35 are going to go for, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair play.
Yeah.
Is that a wrap?
I think so. Just
Happy
about,
days.
roughly. Yeah.
Well, I'll have a look at Twitter because you put a tweet out asking for questions, and if you could tell the listeners what they've got for the rest of the day,
The
before I
rest
get
of the
that up.
day, not a lot.
No, you got other stuff coming, haven't you?
Patrons differential show late afternoon and advanced tier patrons team news streams 8 o'clock tonight as well. There is a deadline stream for everybody on YouTube 10 a.m. tomorrow as well. If you want to
Days,
support the show, www.patreon.com/planetfpl. Go on, Clades.
lovely stuff. Yeah, just looking for the questions. We've covered a lot of them, a lot of questions about people's chip strategies, what to do with captaincy on the weekend. So we'll go with FPL underscore tractor with a non-FPL question to end the show. And I know you'd love this sport. The cricket season starts today, so it
Outro it.
seems fitting to ask, do you like playing football in the rain and watching football when it's raining? I love playing football in the rain. It's one of my favorite things. I love a slide tackle in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah, used to, yeah. As long as it wasn't like monsoon like, yeah, you'd prefer it when it rained, I think.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And another
But I
one which
prefer
I.
watching games in the rain as well.
Oh, no, I don't. I do not like getting soaked when I'm physically in the stadium. I hate that.
The weather definitely helped that game at Chelsea a little bit last night, but that said, it didn't help the game at West Ham on Tuesday, so.
Yeah. All right. And then final one, which I think you will like. James Nelson, UK. With it being WrestleMania this weekend, which present Premier League player would make the best wrestler? Is Haaland too obvious?
Which Premier League player would make the best wrestler?
My instinct was Haaland before I even saw that as well. That feels like a bit of a cop out, though.
Don't know. What about someone like Gabriel? I think would be quite good actually.
That's a good
He's
shout.
quite aggressive, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's quite hands-on.
Like he liked that battle with Haaland on Sunday,
Yeah.
didn't he?
He had a good one with Morris on Wednesday as well, to be fair. Yeah, Gabriel's a good shout.
Yeah. Or to be honest,
Romero.
these days you get more a little bit more about the athletic stuff, don't they? Rather than just all the biggest guy. So Romero get disqualified
Yeah. Imagine Suarez just
way too
biting people
often.
everywhere.
Yeah, no, you can't get Romero get done for like eye gouges and stuff like that, I should imagine. Now, someone athletic who does celebrations that are like backflips and stuff these
No one
days.
really does that anymore, do
No,
they?
well, I think too many people have had knee injuries and stuff that like maybe pack that in.
You're going for like the Rey Mysterio vibes, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think it would be really athletic like that.
Julian
And
Alvarez, could
you're
he do
right, no
that?
one really does mad celebrations anymore, do they?
I'm stealing your answer. I like Gabriel. I think that's a good shout.
Okay. By the way, they should keep the title on Roman Reigns this weekend. I know people don't like that, but that's my opinion.
They should what?
They should keep the title on Roman Reigns.
Okay. Happy days. I don't watch wrestling, so no idea. But
A lot of our listeners will too, and they
okay.
won't like that opinion, and I don't care.
Okay. Well, at James at Plenty FPL Pod. I think that's a wrap. Thank you, James. That was all good.
All right, cheers. Let's get it swiftly ended then, because I know there's obviously a deadline coming up for people. Enjoy, everyone. Have a great weekend. Hope your arrows are green and be nice to each other. Cue music, please. Man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.